The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. We owe much to blind Bartimaeus. We are connected to him in profound ways. For example, in peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. This is the blind beggar Bartimaeus' gift to us. We come to Jesus. Bartimaeus is this beautiful example of a disciple. In the strangest way. We've had all these stories up in the Gospel of Mark of disciples. And they don't seem to get it. They can see, but they can't see. Do you know what I mean? Peter is talking to Jesus, and Jesus is saying, "We have to go to Jerusalem, and I have to be handed over and suffer and die, and on the third day be raised." And what does Peter do? He says, "God forbid, no." He rebukes Jesus. And Jesus has to rebuke him right back. The rich young man comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit life?" And he says, "You know the commandments?" And he says, "Yes, I've done them all." And he says, "Well, you're not far. Just go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me and you will have riches in heaven." And the rich man goes away sad. And the disciples freak out. Because they, like everybody, have gotten in their heads the idea that rich equals blessed by God. So they say to Jesus, "Well then, who can be saved? If a rich person can't be saved, who then?" And Jesus just shakes his head and says, "Man, it's going to be hard for them to get in there. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but God can take care of it." Then the disciples are arguing on the way. Who's the greatest among them? They've listened to Jesus, but they just haven't gotten it yet. Finally, James and John come up last week. Remember last week? And they come and say, "We want you to do whatever you want, whatever we want you to do for us." And Jesus says the same thing he tells Bartimaeus. "What do you want me to do for you?" And they want places of honor and glory. Their style of glory. And Jesus says, "I can't give that to you. And you don't know what glory is." Here's Bartimaeus, blind, on the side of the road, begging. And not only that, he's begging, he's shouting out, because he hears this at Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And what are the crowds doing? What are the disciples doing? "Shut up, man! Quiet! You're interrupting the parade. Shush!" But he yells all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." "Shh! Jesus stops, and then he does this subtle and incredibly wise thing. I mean, I'm sure he hears this guy, and he could just walk right over to him and say, "Hey, listen, I understand. These schmoes around me don't understand, but I understand." But he doesn't do that. He tells them, "Call him to me." Thus, he initiates them in this process. So instead of being the ones who are pushing him away, building up this wall between Bartimaeus and Jesus, Jesus creates them, or invites them into the participation of inviting this guy into the community. That's really rich. I think that is just beautiful. And so they go and they say, "Take heart. He's calling you." And in this way, they begin to be a part of what Jesus is doing in his healing ministry. So he comes to him, and that question again, "What do you want me to do for you?" Last week we said, this is a really good question. I don't know if any of you reflected on this. What do you want Jesus to do? Bartimaeus knows. "Master, let me see again." And it's an interesting word, that "let me see again." Do you remember in John's Gospel when Jesus tells Nicodemus, "You must be born again"? But it could be either born again or born from above. Same dynamic here. It could be, "Master, let me see again," which is perfectly fine translation. It might also be, "Master, let me see from above. Or lift up my eyes again." Isn't that beautiful? What would it mean for us to ask Jesus to lift up our eyes again so that we can really see what's going on? And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well. Go." But Bartimaeus isn't really very obedient. He won't shut up and he won't go. Instead, he comes and follows Jesus. Jesus is trying to dismiss him so he can go home to his family or something. No, he's following Jesus. And he thus becomes this amazing example of discipleship. Jesus is going from Jericho to Jerusalem, and we know what's waiting for him there. And we know all of the resistance that the disciples have against it. But Bartimaeus falls right in line and follows him on the way. Would that we could all see this way. Isn't that amazing? So, Lord have mercy. We are right where Bartimaeus is. We are right where God wants us to be when we are crying out, "Lord, have mercy." Because that's the cry of the earliest church. That's the cry of all Christians. That's the cry of everybody who is in situations that they can do nothing about, that they cannot change, that are miserable. And are we not in such situations today? And do we not have people who are telling us what to do and how to do it and how to get out of the situation? And do we not have this antagonism among us? It's a wall that has been built, just like the wall that the followers of Jesus were building between Jesus and Bartimaeus. Curiously, you're in Jericho in this story, right? Remember the last time somebody shouted out in Jericho? Do you remember that? When another Jesus, Joshua, Jesus' name in Hebrew would be Joshua. When another Joshua was leading the people and they rounded around and around seven times. And then what did they do? They shouted. And what happened? The walls came down. Isn't that beautiful? Do you think Mark had that in mind? I think he did. This guy shouting out. And I think that's what we want also for us. Lord, have mercy. To shout it out, to whisper it out, to somehow just continue to pray this out for the sake of the walls coming down in our world. So, I had something happen to me that I think is from God that I want to share with you. I think you'll see why I think it's from God as we go. So, on the Monday that I arrived, we arrived in St. George, Utah, Monday the 3rd, it must have been, I woke up and I had this idea. I said, it was the myth of Narcissus. What the heck is this about? Narcissus is the guy who, beautiful, handsome guy, and he goes to the water and he falls in love with his own image, right? And it's where we get narcissism, but he falls in love with his own image, and then everything is about him, his own image. And anything that's not in his own image, he just spurns. There's a whole bunch of complicated story, we won't get into that, but that's the point. And so I woke up with that. Why? I don't know. I mean, I don't know Narcissus from a hole in the wall, but that's what came to me. And so I started thinking about it. I looked up the story, and then it dawns on me. Oh, you know what? The little mechanism that we hold in our hand, that everybody has, that's our pool. That's the water reflecting us back to ourselves. And it's not just, you know, the phone. It's the little computer thing. It's any screen, right? It reflects us back to ourselves. And this is actually very true. It's proven that they have these algorithms that you look at something and you're attentive to it, the algorithm will send you something else just like it and something else just like it until we are only looking at the things that we want to see and not at anything else. And the wall builds up. Until finally, we only love what is in our image, what is in our, what are our ideas, our preconceived notions, things that agree with me. This is the way this is working. So I said, all right, it's Monday morning, and I got on the computer and I'm typing so that I can remember this, because I know I'm going to forget it. I'm typing away. And then I said, a modest proposal, and this is the proposal that I'm going to give to you, is that we take some time. I actually said in this thing a week, I know that's crazy, but maybe a day, to turn off the machines and to turn instead to our scriptures and meditate on them, on the parts that say, love one another, on the parts that say, love your enemy, to put away envy and bitterness and strife, and to put on kindness and compassion. Read those scriptures. Meditate on those scriptures. And then, channel Bartimaeus. Every time you think of somebody who you are angry with or frustrated with or in conflict with, you say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Have mercy on them. In fact, start with have mercy on me, just to get you into the right mood. And then have mercy on them. And repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it. And do a day's worth of Lord have mercy for all the people in the world who are struggling, who are hurting, who maybe disagree with you, who you have animosity against, and see what happens. Turn away from this falling in love with ourselves. And turn out. And fall in love with everybody that God is in love with. That's your homework. Just take a day. Take as much time as you can. If it's even a half a day, do it. That is the first step towards discipleship. First step towards the walls coming down. We are all in deep need of God's mercy on this. We are, because we are entangled in it. It is not of God. And I confess, I'm entangled in it just as much as everybody. I love having a smart answer for somebody who I disagree with. I do. And I confess that. I need it too. Here's the thing. Why do I think this is from God? Monday the 3rd, Virginia was sending out pictures throughout our trip to the kids. On that day, she couldn't get the thing to work. It wasn't working. It wasn't going through. The next day, Tuesday, she finds out, yesterday, Facebook crashed. Wow. How about that? Coincidence? I don't think so. I think that's from God. So, one smart and smart aleck member of our congregation said to me, "That is so cool. You got to put that on Facebook." I told her, I only have one way of communicating in a broad area. So, I bring that to you today. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on everyone you love. That is the step towards true discipleship that Bartimaeus takes. And the walls come down. And we see, again, we see from above the truth that we are all children of God.